Good morning. And again, I want to thank Representative Markey for making some time for us talking about the Brian Walsh case. Again, if you haven't been following that, I think it's a good case to follow because it's going to get really, I think it's going to get really interesting. Very sad case, obviously, the Brian Walsh case. All right, so here's the plan. Susanna Connolly is going to give us a call. She's down on the Cape. She's been fighting offshore wind from a little bit of a different angle than the people from ACFA Wales. And we'll have Sue get into that with us. I find these activist-type groups that are taking on major power companies, sophisticated lobbies like yesterday, the illegal alien lobby, Cheryl Ball, who called into the program from Yarmouth. Of course, we've had ACFA Wales regularly here on the program, Amy DeCibio and her group. I just like these Davy and Goliath type stories and the fact that you can take on what you believe to be the inevitable and fight it and win, slow it down, get people to take a second look. I love those stories, and I want to encourage it, really, within our community. People who say, hey, wait a second. I don't think that's a good idea. I'm going to tell all my neighbors and try to build some support within a democratic framework to prevent that change or to enact change, right? So then in the 11 o'clock hour, if you haven't already been watching it, I'd encourage you to watch The Last Dawn of Providence, the mafia story about Baby Shanks Manacchio, put on by WPRI. You watch it through the WPRI app on your smart television, and it's free. It's a really good production. Yesterday, they released the third episode, and it's got a Massachusetts connection, a lot of Massachusetts people in that story. So check it out. And we'll have Tim White on the 11 o'clock hour to talk about that and promote it. There's one episode every Monday. So they've got three episodes out now. The fourth concluding episode will be next Monday. And you can watch them all at once if you want, the three episodes. And again, like I said, it's free and it's really good television. Really good television. And then also, in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Mike Keneally. Mike Keneally is running for governor, seeking the Republican nomination. He was here last night out in Rochester. I saw pictures from it. Really strong crowd of Republicans at the Ponderosa last night in Rochester to have their meeting and also to hear and meet Mike Keneally. Mike's been spending a lot of time here on the South Coast, as Brian Shortsleeve here has as well. Mike Minogue is kind of just getting into the race officially. So he hasn't been around as much, but he's been here. He was on OTR this weekend. And Mike Keneally will be here on the program to echo his demand, request, however you want to look at it, offer to engage in debates with his Republican opponents here as the primary is getting started. So Mike Keneally will be here, talk about a couple of things, but also to issue that challenge. It's been issued on social media, in the regular media, and now it'll be here on talk radio. So that's pretty interesting stuff. All right. So kind of open phones until my guest joins me. Sue Conley. Let me see what I got. I got some people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi, this is Sean Mulvey.
Hey, Sean, what's going on? Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I'm calling in about the sewage treatment plant meeting tonight, and just letting Ward 6 residents know, or the whole city.
Yeah, tell them what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very concerned about that. It was one of my things that when I ran on, I wanted to get more traction on, and I feel vindicated that something's going to happen. So this is hopefully this is the start of something that we can the residents can have more input on a regular basis. I'm hoping for that. So I'm really excited about going to listen tonight to the Department of Public Infrastructure, Mr. Chica, and have residents come down and, you know, voice their concerns on different things. Now, I thought I knew, I only know on the surface what's going on, but there's a lot of things deeper than that I don't know about, that I'm learning about. And I think it's going to come out tonight. And I think the residents of Ward 6 should really come down and pay attention.
Where do they go and what time is it at, Sean Mulvey?
It's tonight, 6 p.m. at the sewage treatment plant. You just drive right into Tabor.
Yep.
And you take your first right in where the sewage treatment plant is assigned right there. You take your right and you take a left. It's a nice building right there. They have a committee room there and all that stuff. So it's nice. I've been there before. So it's easy to get to. You just go right into Tabor, right in the entrance.
Tabor in the south end. Plenty of parking, right? Right.
Yes, there is.
So, Sean, I appreciate you getting everybody interested in this meeting. I've had a lot of calls, seen a lot of activity mm-hmm. on Facebook.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I think you should have a really good turnout tonight for this meeting. Again, it's a major issue.
It really is. And you know, it's good. I've been talking to a lot of people and they're excited about going. And, you know, they have a lot of different concerns than what I have. So I think it's going to be a good thing. And the only unfortunate thing is they scheduled this meeting. It's a briefings committee meeting down in City Hall. So none of the councilors are going to be there because they're doing a ceremonial vote for the chief of police tonight. Yeah.
But listen, so, those councils are used to being in, they're going to be in three places at once. So they'll figure it out. I wouldn't difficult. Worry about it.
Well, I hope that we have some kind of representation there from.
Well, you'll be there, Sean Mulvey, right?
Well, I'm going to do my best, Chris. I'm going to just do my best as a citizen of the Ward 6 and a concerned person. So I'll do my best, and we'll see what happens.
Thanks
and,
for getting everybody involved, Sean Mulvey. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, my friend. Tell us how that meeting works out. All right, guys, I'm going to take a break. When I come back, we'll be joined by Suzanne Conley, who's a big activist from down the Cape against offshore wind and she's been recommended to me by a number of people, and I'm excited to have her on the program. So we'll take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Am I just a fool?
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's beautiful here in Fairhaven. Hope it's beautiful wherever you are. We're now going to be joined for the first time by Sue Conley. Sue is an activist from down the Cape fighting offshore wind and recommended to me by a number of people. And I'm excited to have her on the program. Good morning. Thank you for joining me, Sue.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what is happening down the Cape that you're involved with? Tell my audience all about this.
Sure. Well, for 3.5 years, our group, Save Greater Dallas Beach, has been fighting the plans by Avangrid Renewables to land a number of extra high voltage 400 megawatt cables onto our recreational beaches. Three of them, they managed to do it to one beach, Cobles Beach, for the Vineyard Wind Project. So we have a whole number of issues with these plans. That we just think it's one of the most poorly conceived ideas ever to run all this infrastructure through, you know, beaches and seaside villages and so forth. But what we decided to do, and this is what's caused a bit of an uproar here in town, is to monitor the EMF radiation coming off of the two cables from partially constructed Vineyard Wind. And I have to point to a December 3rd article in the New Bedford Light that really lays out just how partially constructed this project is. They are still having problems getting up to the 62 turbines they plan. But right now, from what we can see from shore, they have at most 21 turbines spinning. They could have added a couple more, you know, in the last week or so, but it's about a third operational. But anyway, we started monitoring the EMF and comparing our results to the EMF levels that were modeled during the siting and permitting process with the state. And what we've discovered is our worries about EMF on the beach itself are really, you know, unfounded. The cables are way too deep. But what we discovered is that in the parking lot and on the 5.3-mile duct bank route that carries this electricity to their substation, the values are far, far greater than what they told the EFSB they would be. Now, these cables, not only, you know, the splicing vaults especially, can be up to 200 times what one would experience in what's called ambient background EMF. And then along the duct bank, it goes through residential neighborhoods, a number of them. There's 5 miles of these duct banks now. And if they have their way, there would be eventually 20 miles of these duct banks running through the town of Barnstable. And we are not happy about it. Well, I will say this. Thousands of residents are not happy about it. Of course, Vineyard Wind will always, you know, have their supporters and the people who claim that unless we do this, the planet's going to die. A narrative, I believe, is truly falling apart at this point.
Yes.
But this is our fight. I brought the results of our study. It's called, I heard a phrase, I love it. It's called citizen science. And citizen science happens when normal people, you know, run-of-the-mill, everyday people decide that their governments are not paying attention to what they should be paying attention to. There's a long tradition of this in the United States. And 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago now, when I brought it to town council, our initial results, which are startling, we were ridiculed by one of the brand new town councilors in the town of Barnstable. So I went back last Thursday and I corrected the record. We are not pretending to be scientists. We are telling the state and the feds that they need to come in and take a look at this because we believe it's unhealthy. We believe that the levels are far higher than they said they would be, and that to me is a sort of lie when it came to siting and permitting. So I'm kind of concentrating on our whole group is concentrating on the onshore impact of offshore wind, and it's something that, you know, doesn't get as much attention as the damage to the fisheries and the death of all the whales lately, but I think it's just as important.
We're speaking with Sue Conley. Sue, she's from Barnstable and right down the road. Talk about why, I believe it's electromagnetic fields, right? That's the EMF?
Yes.
All right. Explain what you believe that'll do to people on the beach, in the parking lots, down there, and to tourism, really, because I don't think people want to be around this stuff.
No. So not to get too deep into it, but if you are standing in your kitchen, Chris, the EMF would be registered at about 1.5 to 2 milligauss. Milligauss is the unit of measurement traditionally used to detect EMF. So we use the same meters that someone working for the town used in spring of 2024. They cost about $110. They're not cheap. And we've trained ourselves. We have a couple of engineers on our group, and we made sure that we planned this all out carefully. And what we're measuring over the duct bank and all over, well, the splicing vaults, first of all, that's where the two cables come in under the beach. They get spliced in these installations underground in the parking lot where people actually park and little kids run around in their bathing suits. We've measured, the last week I measured 230 milligauss. That means that the radiation is way, way beyond what they ever said it would be. Now, there is a group called the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, ICNIRP, I call them. And they've said that we shouldn't worry until it reaches 2,000.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure if they are referring to the same kind of ELF EMF that we're measuring, or if they're talking about cell towers, which are radio frequency EMF. But anyway, it doesn't matter. These levels have been recognized by many first world countries as dangerous. They're not accepting this 2,000 milligauss. And in fact, when we bought our meters, they came with a card that said at 200 milligauss, you should leave the area. Well,
really?
This is what we're reading. Yeah, this is what, and I have pictures on our Facebook page, Save Greater Delta Beach, of that card. And those cards basically say at 200 milligauss, leave the area. A couple of weeks ago, I was doing a spot check, and it was reading 220 milligauss, and there was a woman sitting in her car right over the duct bank, not the duct bank, I'm sorry, the splicing vault, eating lunch. And I'm thinking, I should go over and tell her, move your car, you know, and I have suggested to the town that because the parking lot is, you know, exhibiting this kind of radiation, that perhaps we should think about blocking off some of the park, you know, especially the parking spots near the the splicing vault. But along the duct bank, we're getting 89, 110. And these are levels that are right through neighborhoods 24/7, 365. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Avangrid said to us, well, first they told us the levels would be undetectable, which is patently false. And then they said it would be no greater than a hairdryer. Well, my answer to that is, who holds the hairdryer to their head 24/7, 365? These property owners were made adjacent to extra high voltage without their knowledge or their agreement. So if you buy a home next to high voltage, that's your decision.
Yes.
But if high voltage suddenly is put in your front yard and you have no say about it, I have to question who would think that's correct. You know, that's right. I don't think that's right.
No, I agree with you, Sue. We're speaking with Sue Conley from Barnstable. And what is the name of your group, and how do people get more information? How do they get involved? Help us out with that.
Sure. So our Facebook page is Save Greater Delta's Beach. We do accept donations. We don't have a lot of money, but we accept enough to, you know, we have a lawsuit going about the fact that Craigville Beach was permitted to do the next landing of two more cables. So we do like support that way. We have a lobbyist in Washington who's trying to impress upon certain departments like Interior and Energy that we really need to take a second look at this. So that's one way they can help. The other way they can help is to put pressure on Maura Healey. I said this morning on another radio program that if she's talking about energy and her lips are moving, she's lying. She came out yesterday and said that ocean wind farms are driving down the cost of electricity. I can't imagine a more ridiculous statement, especially since the only project is Vineyard Wind, and it's a third ready to go, and it's a third operational. It's not driving down. She spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this, and she intends to continue to support it, which is why I am so anxious that we get another governor in the corner office in November.
We're speaking with Sue Conley
from
Barnstable. Sue, how are people locally down there reacting to this radiation and all of this and the activity, the commercial activity going on the beaches, which are normally for rest and relaxation?
Yeah, it's pretty gruesome. I will tell you that I keep my, you know, finger on the pulse of what the vast majority of people are thinking and saying, and people do not want these. I know New Bedford has an investment in this with, you know, the staging area and all that, but I would say far, far more people realize that this is an absolute boondoggle. It's ruining the oceans. I want to mention that my good friend Amy DeCibio, she's sort of, you know, they're covering the impact in the ocean. Tyler McAllister is also a good friend, and he's going to be in Osterville Thursday evening between 5 and 8 at the Veterans Hall. And if you want to hear what this is doing to our oceans, please come and listen to Tyler. He's so knowledgeable, This is the guy that goes to the White House and informs them about what's happening to the fisheries.
Right.
This is destroying the cod fishery, by the way. So, you know, offshore and onshore, it's an absolute disaster for Cape Cod, and it needs to be stopped as soon as possible, in my opinion.
So what about your local? So like the Barnstable Town Council, those people down there, maybe your state senator, your state representatives, how are they to work with on? Are they listening to you? Do they agree with you? Help me out here, Susan.
Well, we do have a few friends on our town council, thankfully. There was a little bit of a turnover, you know, and a bit of a shift to the you know, the green grift side of things. But I will say that the other night, a citizen stood up. He typically does this, you know, claiming he has expertise, and I'm ignorant and fear-mongering and all that. And one of the counselors really took him down to Chinatown, as they say. So that felt great. That felt like good. We do have some support on town council. Steve Exaros is the only elected representative listening to us at all. I will say that clearly. You know, it's been 3.5 years, Chris, and Steve understands where we're coming from, and he thinks that the energy policy that this administration has been promoting is just wrong. I testified at the State House a few months ago, and I said, you know, this whole energy policy needs a reset. It's not working. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to Healy, she's trying to move to the middle. She's trying to talk now about small modular reactors. But at the same time, she's saying we have to pursue offshore wind. Offshore mm-hmm. wind should come off the table at this point. And I think the feds are going to see that happens. We'll see. A federal judge ruled against President Trump yesterday saying that his order for all the departments, the cabinet level departments, to review this is illegal. So we'll see where that goes. I'm not sure where a district judge gets to run the administration, but people are all upset about that decision. But I'm not sure she has much authority over what the president does in this regard. So the folks who have jobs on these wind farms, you know, if Washington prevails, believe me, you'll have jobs for 6 to 7 years. Getting everything out of the ocean. So I'd love to see Vineyard Wind dismantled, quite frankly. I think it's a mess. Again, that December 3rd article in the New Bedford Light was really eye-opening about how much trouble they have in getting up and running. And it belies this fact that they're supplying so much energy to Massachusetts. It's just not true. Most of the time, they're drawing energy to keep themselves up and running out there.
We're speaking with Sue Conley from Barnstable, and she's an activist down there. She's got a group going down to try to save their beaches. Sue, we saw when the blade failed out on Nantucket, it shut down tourism out there, really caused a major disaster. Cape Cod, without beaches that tourists want to go to, would be horrible, right? I mean, that's a major part of your economy. Talk about that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, without tourism, Cape Cod would really lose. And to tell you the truth, I think this is part of, you know, why certain groups don't like what we're doing. But what we're saying is, who the heck wants to go lay on a beach with 1,200 megawatts of electricity running under it?
Right, right.
You know, it's insane. And from the very start, Chris, we said, what are you doing? This is not where to land this electricity. You need to go to areas that are industrial, like, for example, the Canal Power Plant, or places that would accept this and want the money. And you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
But no. They just insisted Barnstable is the place to go.
Why is that so?
Well, I think it's because they've chosen to use HVAC cabling from their three projects, which are Vineyard Wind, New England 1, and New England 2. And that limits the distance. If they had planned on using HVDC cabling, they could have gone 100 miles. It would have been much different. It would have been much more industrial. But they just took a look around Barnstable, and they bribed a former town council, we'll give you X number of millions of dollars if you let us go to Cobles Beach. And that town council jumped at it. What they didn't realize was Avangrid Renewables already had their eyes on beautiful public Craigville Beach, which is one of the most gorgeous beaches on Nantucket Sound. And then they took a ride down the down the road and they saw Dowse's Beach, which is actually an incredibly fragile estuarine area. And they said, yeah, we'll land three here. So, you know, this is what caused our group to form and to fight. You know, one of our big issues is they're building massive substations right on top of Cape Cod's sole source aquifer. The duct banks, the 20 miles of duct banks, would heat up our drinking water delivery system. And when we talked about that with them, they said, well, you might have to chlorinate your water. For the first time ever, Cape Cod water would have to be chlorinated because of these people. It's just, I mean, the number of issues we have with this onshore equal the issues that are out there in the ocean. And that's what we're so happy. I'm so pleased and grateful that you let me come on today to talk about this, because it's not been the story, but to us it's the story, that's for sure. And Barnstable, the biggest town on Cape Cod, is really ground zero of all the towns and cities in the country for this crazy experiment of the Biden administration.
Sue, speaking of Sue Conley from Barnstable, Dallas's Beach is the beach he's trying to save. Do you find this to be a pro-environmental project? Is this green energy when you really add up all the effects on the environment?
I stopped thinking it was green a long, long time ago, and I remember the first call we made was to, our first concern, believe it or not, was for the incredible bird population at Dowse's Beach. When we were just thinking about, what about the wildlife here? It's so beautiful. And so we called the Audubon, Mass Audubon. We were told, no, sorry, we had a seat at the table when this was all planned, and we approve it, and more birds are killed by global warming than ocean wind farms. And I remember hanging up the phone thinking, I'm going to be living in a new reality. Mm-hmm. When the Audubon does not care about the hundreds of thousands of birds and bats that are killed, chopped in half by turbine blades, then we knew we were in a different reality. And all the so-called environmental groups, everybody from the Environmental League of Massachusetts, Conservation Law Foundation, they have been, you know, promoting this. And this might seem cynical, Chris, but I believe this is driven by the billions of dollars that were showered down in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. Mm-hmm. Those dollars fueled so many salaries of these so-called environmentalists and all the people who work for them and talk about ocean winds, you know, till they're blue in the face that this is the most wonderful thing in the world. And it really is not. And they know it, but they keep talking it up, and I'll tell you, their narrative about climate change seems to be crumbling. I mean, when a guy like Bill Gates comes out and says something, you know the narrative is crumbling. And they're getting desperate. They're getting angry. I've been attacked more in the recent weeks than I've been in 3.5 years. But that's okay. That's okay. I don't mind that. As I say to folks who feel bad, I say, oh, sticks and stones. You know,
yes.
I don't care. I'm going to keep doing this, and I said to someone the other day, I'll stop when Avangrid Renewables pulls the plug on New England Wind 1 and 2. I'm not sure we can do much about Vineyard Wind as citizens, except for our EMF project, but we do want to stop any more cables from coming into our town, and I'd hate to say, you know, send it there, put it in that town instead. That's not fair either. You know, they mismanaged this from the very, very start. They had other options, and they chose to come this way. It's not just our beaches. It's our villages. It's our residential neighborhoods. It's our drinking water. And we care very deeply about it.
Sue Conley, I really appreciate you making time for us this morning. If people want to get involved with your group, help you out, how do they get in touch with you guys?
So our email is saveourbeach22. That's the year we were founded. So saveourbeach22@gmail.com. We have a GoFundMe site, which is Save Greater Dowse's Beach. And we would appreciate any and all feedback, any support folks can offer. I know folks are really struggling these days, especially with these utility bills. But even a small donation makes a big, big difference for us in our fight. But thank you so much, Chris, and I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, Sue,
yes.
As well. Don't be a stranger. We'll keep you in the loop, because this is a really important issue.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate it. We all do.
Thank you, my friend. That was Sue Conley from Save Dallas's Beach. Again, like I told you guys, I've got these like Davy versus Goliath type fighters out there, and they inspire me. I hope they inspire you. You don't have to really agree with them to appreciate their Americanism, right? Standing up for what they think is right, and that's important, really important. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Open phones if you have something going on and you want to talk about it. You want to talk about my last guest? That would be great. How do you feel about offshore wind? Did you read that article in the New Bedford Light? Remember, Mike Keneally coming up in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
To the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's getting to feel a lot like Christmas out there, right? Beautiful day to head to Carter's Clothing. Get some of your Christmas shopping done. You know, for 78 years, you've been able to count on Carter's Clothing. They've been the South Coast one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, they're making gift giving even easier. If you want to get somebody a pair of shoes for Christmas, head to Carter's Clothing. Carter's has got the best prices on top brand names like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. Find something for everyone this year with over 75 different styles of boots, really cozy flannels, and more. They got hoodies, jackets and vests that are perfect for winter. Free parking available at the downtown and Fall River store. So you don't have to worry about that, right? Pull up, go in, don't have to worry about getting a ticket for Christmas. Just go in and get gifts right at Carter's, right? What a great store. Gift cards available in any denomination. Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit them online at cartersma.com. They've got really unique New Bedford gifts down there. All kinds of really good stuff. You really got to go there. Check it out. Check out Carter's Clothing. All right. Kind of open phones for the rest of the hour. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Chris, what's happening?
You tell me, Paul.
I have a question for you. Approximately 3 weeks ago, you had State Rep Steve Ola call into the program.
Yes.
And he said he would agree to come on the show. Did you ever call
I haven't
you
heard
back?
From him. I haven't heard from
See,
him.
That's typical. He never follows through. And this is why we need Jesse St. Gelee in that position. And we can vote for Jesse in November 2026. And Jesse St. Gelee is having a Christmas party tomorrow at 427 County Street in New Bedford, the Wamsutter Club, from 7 to 9. And the Taylor Cormier, the great Taylor Cormier, is
great
performing.
Great Taylor Cormier.
That's right. He's performing, and there'll be Santa Claus there for the children. And there'll be tickets for sale when you go in. So hopefully everybody shows up, and have a Merry Christmas, and you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thanks, Paul. I do appreciate it, my friend. Thank you for the kind words and the support. It's a great time of year. It really is. All kinds of good stuff going on. Hopefully you get out there and enjoy it. Enjoy it, right? 508-996-0500. Back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Hey, I was listening earlier this morning when you had Chris Markey on.
Yes.
And it's nice that you have that show to go over the legal aspects.
Yeah.
I just wish that there was some other legal mind that was doing that instead of our legislature. Because our legislature has enough real issues going on, and his communication time should be used to talk about the real issues that he's been ducking and Tony Cabral have been ducking for like decades. That we are not being represented. And the last caller was just talking about somebody else that isn't showing up or talking up. These guys will only come on a show when they want to get reelected and they want votes, but they don't want to talk about the real issues.
What's, like, why what's do the real we still issue? Have yeah, tell me.
Like, what's going on with the housing law that allowed all these illegals to come into our state and take up housing and waste all that money on hotels? They never changed that law.
No, they,
yeah, they could have.
It's called no, the shelter. No, it's called the shelter law. Just for people who don't know, sir. So what we have is a right to shelter law, and it was all intended for Americans, and they
right.
totally blew it out.
30 years before, though.
Oh, yeah.
Until we realized how it could be manipulated to be used for people that were here illegally.
Yes.
And our governor was dead wrong in what she did, but our legislature just sat there. Every single one of them sat there and didn't change the law. We have not been represented. These legislatures have been ripping off the taxpayers, and now they're looking at 13 and 20% tax increases in Boston. Well, what do you think that's going to eventually run down to here? It's only a matter of time before they spend too much money on the illegals and another BS that these legislatures keep on doing, and they come onto shows when they want to vote, but they don't want to talk about the real issues because they wouldn't show up.
The fact of the matter is that the governor and the legislature, supermajority Democrat, really have spent billions on illegal aliens. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous.
When I hear about what's going on in Minnesota, the only thought in the back of my mind is we have asked for an audit. 70% of the people in Massachusetts asked for an audit.
Yep.
Our government thinks they're above it all. People like Markey think they're above it. And they use some fake news thing saying, oh, well, we don't want the encroachment on our power. BS. The people of Massachusetts spoke up and they said they want an audit. They want to know where the money is being spent. And you and the governor are both, and the DA, the attorney general, rather, are hiding and trying to hide the truth from the people. So this is wrong. This is what our legislature is doing to Democrats and Republicans in this state. They're doing this to all the taxpayers, and that's why Democrats who vote in this state need to start speaking up and start thinking with their heads. Vote smart. Don't vote Democrat, because voting smart will get the people who are qualified, like Mike Minogue, to really run this state.
Mike Minogue's an extraordinarily qualified guy. I had him in for an hour the other day. I think he's doing a fantastic job. And I think all three of the Republicans are really quality candidates. Hopefully everybody will get a chance to meet them all before they get an opportunity to vote in September.
Well, when they talk about how much taxes are going to re-increase in Boston, all I can say is, every one of those Democrats that voted for Wu deserves what they're getting, because when you vote idiots in, you get idiot reaction, and you get idiots running the state that spend our money wastefully.
Thank you, my friend. Don't be a stranger. Thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. Guys, the big concern is the preservation of Proposition 2.5, which was enacted because property taxes and auto excise taxes became so high that there was a major revolution, bloodless, in 1980 that voted in Proposition 2.5 by a landslide. The law is still on the books, but every year the radical activists and the radical Democrats try to make a run at it, trying to get rid of Proposition 2.5. Chipping away at it. Look at the attempt to allow local municipalities to increase the auto excise tax. That is an assault on Proposition 2.5. Absolute assault. I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. We'll have Mike Keneally, who's seeking the governor's office, the Republican nomination, coming up in the, what is it, next hour? Yeah, at 11:30. All right, stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Hey, it's really cold out there. You're feeling it. So is your automobile. So get it over to Mack Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford. Mack Auto Sales, a family-owned business. Make sure you mention WBSM. It'll save you something on the bill. They repair all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car ready for the winter, winterize your automobile, call and make an appointment at Mack Auto Sales. 508-565-6221. Open weekdays, 9 to 5. You say you have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for